not a con.
Those of you with an overwhelming fear of the unknown will be gratified to learn that there is no intended hidden message revealed by reading this warning backwards, so just ignore that alert notice from Microsoft. However, by pouring a complete circle of salt around yourself and your computer, you will can ensure that no harm will befall you and even your pets. Your mileage and satisfaction may vary. Not all warranties apply during the time frame. Yeah, okay, for you guys recording it. I'm not going through all of it. Just a little humor saying that this is me, my own words, my thoughts, and on the whole situation. I speak for no one, and no one else can certainly speak for myself. That's entirely up to you, sir. Whether you decide to click whatever button you want, and you know. So, let me request to you for everyone to please turn off or set your personal communication devices to vibrate as a courtesy to everyone else. Otherwise, if it rings during this presentation, you will be buying me a beer, drink at the bar of my choosing. And it's not going to be Bud Light. Okay. My previous job that I just left, I was the IT guy for a federal government library. And who was just ringing? Uh-huh. Okay. At this particular library, I got stuck being the administrator of the library system. And one of the cool things about this library system is that there was a good community of other system administrators, other librarians that were tasked with keeping the system going to help each other out. Real good that we were all helpful, all looking at talking and helping pass information around. Bad because a lot of times the system vendor would say, oh, we don't know, go ask the users group mailing list. From the overall tone on the mailing list, there weren't that many people that had a good grasp on information security, thought, hey, it's just a library system, who really cares, et cetera, et cetera. Well, sitting down and getting some requests from other people in the community saying, Tim, Irish, can you put something together for the next users group conference about security in the library system? So after a few beers and talking with some friends, you know, we all know that every system can be exploited one way or another. Can I put something together in an hour to get these librarians, you know, from the ones that are technically savvy to the ones that, you know, are still bitched and complaining that they got rid of their card catalogs, because that's what they've been used to understand what's the problems, what's the real concerns about the situation. Through some of my research, I found out that the company that develops this library system does not have any security people, don't have anybody doing code reviews. I found this out because, one, I was looking for a job. Two, because of some of the concerns that I had through some of the stuff I ran into. Finally got through to one of the HR folks. She gave me this big, long line of spiel. Oh, we don't have somebody that does that. We'd have to go to the corporate headquarters over in Europe, get a bill of the sign, you know, pretty much giving me this big snow job, which I didn't enjoy. Another reason why this presentation, shortly before this, I got some email sent to me to one of my personal accounts from somebody's Hotmail account, giving me some grief about some assistance, some answers that I posted to the users group mailing list. From some of the things that were said and some of the other indicators I put together, it was one of the guys that worked on a support staff at the vendor, thinking they were all smart and dandy. I was also frustrated with the situation as a whole in regards to the system issues, concerns, the non-responsiveness from the vendor when I brought issues up on the mailing list or directly, And also, I was in the process of migrating the platform that we were on from Windows NT to a Sun Solaris platform, which it deserved to be on for a plethora of different reasons, which is totally another presentation entirely. And I wanted to know some specifics in regards to how it worked, because the two different platforms, the way they had their application set up, were totally different. And I wanted to know some specifics, and it wasn't documented on our support site at all. So I figured, hey, let me put this presentation together and do some of this research so I can know more of what's going on and share it with the community. I also did not feel that the system was privacy friendly. Kind of gut feeling from some of the stuff I had run across and tried dealing with while being an administrator and trying to do some of the stuff that my staff and my library director asked me to work on while getting the system configured and set up to a way that we wanted it to be, and also in that our customers expected it or wanted it to be. And this is more of a way, the way the database stored information, the way it did or did not purge it, and I wanted to be able to research this further. In with also helping heighten the information security awareness within the library system community. For example, people were posting little Perl scripts or PHP scripts and other stuff that people had used to enhance the library system because the vendor wasn't doing it. And they would post the script, and it would have user ID and password embedded in it for it to log into the Oracle database to pull the information out. Not the smartest thing. Just gut feeling, you know. So I became a little bit more involved on the mailing list, and when I saw stuff like that typing up, and, you know, hey guys, you really don't want to do this, and this is why. And here's some web references and websites that you should probably go read as to why. And this new system that we were also upgrading to when I migration to Sun platform now comes with encryption. And that's kind of how the vendor was playing it off, but not saying a word about what the specifics were, other than, well, it encrypts all the data between the client and the server, and you won't have to worry about blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no. The only thing I could find out is that the vendor developers developed their own encryption. Yeah, that's kind of what we were assuming, that, yeah, we'll just do XOR and nobody will know. We'll say it's encrypted. Yeah, you lying sacks of crap. I opened quite a few support tickets on this issue, and it got to the point where the head of the support department just went ahead and closed them because they didn't want to deal with it. I also asked some friends and associates that worked with the company, and pretty much was stonewalled on this whole issue. And I had hoped to test and examine this so-called encryption standard, but unfortunately the timing that I got into in regards to this, which I'll touch on in a little bit, it wasn't feasible at all. Wasn't aware of anybody else doing any sort of research or any of this sort of projects in regards to this. And I wanted to help back with the community because they helped me so much, because when I first got into the job, hey, I'm just an IT guy. I've used libraries, but I have not a clue about library systems. And there were other individuals on the mailing list that it helped me out tremendously that are now looking to me at regards to security stuff. And, you know, it seemed like a fun project to work on, and I always enjoyed going to the Windy City every April to party my brains out. Attend this conference. Okay. What is an ILS? Well, it's an integrated library system that has everything, quote unquote, everything that you would need to operate and manage a library. And I say, quote, everything, because what's the difference between a software salesman and a hardware salesman? Hardware salesman knows when they're lying. And this was very true, because the first 6 months to a year and a half that I worked there, my boss would be like, well, the salesman said, and they said this would, yeah. For personal reference, I'm going to give a plug to the guys at COA, www.koha.org, which is an open source integrated library system they've been working on for a little while. It looks like a pretty interesting project. So, summer 2003, I kind of mulled over what my friends in the community had asked of and said, okay, let me go talk with the boss. And she was actually, well, to my face, said that she was in support of this project and presentation. So I submitted my proposal, and the committee chairperson for the technical track, who's actually a friend of mine, called me, and she's like, Tim, what's this little disclaimer on the bottom? What are you talking about, meetings, approvals? And I explained to her, and she's like, oh, I'll have to call you back. So I got somebody from the company that called and explained to her what was going on, and it took a little bit to get everybody verbally saying, yeah, sure, we want to bless this. And then talking with some friends, they're like, you might want to get some legal paperwork to CYA. So to cover my ass, I pulled out my stack of business cards and contacted somebody that I had talked to at the EFF. Sent her an email. She emailed me back. She's like, not a problem. And within like 2 weeks, she'd put together like not even a full page of, you know, let this gentleman do whatever you want in support of this presentation. We're not going to get him on DCMA, the hacker laws, or any other garbage. And the vendor signed off. And my boss signed off. I'm like, woohoo! Giddy up. This is going to work. So then I waited for the test box to be configured up for me that they were going to host up in their facility, and I would do my scans and whatnot from wherever I was at. And I waited. And I waited. And about 2 weeks before, they're like, okay, the box is ready. Thanks. So we troubleshoot some connectivity issues and figure out what's going on. And then I do a look. And the only thing that's on there is the base Solaris install. Not the application. Hadn't done any patches. I call them up. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? My exact words. Sorry about that. Let me get the slide back to where it should be. Stupid thing. Okay. So, yeah, pretty much I freaked out. You know, what the hell am I going to present on when they're not even giving me anything to do the testing on, and I'm going to have, like, absolutely nothing. And he's like, oh, you needed the application, too? What are you talking about? That's not what we talked about. Lying crap. Yeah, well, we don't have time for that. We're working on so much other stuff. You're going to have to deal with what we gave you. What about this document that you signed? Click. So I went and talked to the boss. And I sent him a couple of emails, and the flame war was working back and forth. I'm like, okay, had enough of this. I called this guy's boss, who I had talked to months before, saying everything's working fine, and said, ma'am, you're not going to have a presentation at this conference because you're not giving me what I needed. Oh, by the way, you're not giving me what this legal document said you were going to give me either. Oh, okay. Let me get a call back. And wouldn't you know it, an hour and a half later, the application was installed in that box. Yeah. But by the time all this happened, I had a week to do my assessment, go through everything, and put the presentation together, and then submit it so they could do all the publishing garbage for the conference. Along with, you know, the rest of my life. So I did what I could. I threw the presentation together. And I actually gave the presentation in April 2004. What a mess. So, at this point, let me go through some of the stuff that I went over with them. Some of you that were here at Nauticon last year got to see part of that presentation as an impromptu because somebody canceled out. I've been wondering if you had been or not. That's good. Glad you shared that. So, as As we're all familiar with, you know, how do we evaluate something, not just for ourselves, but something else that we're trying to figure out what's going on? Google search, who is, you know, scan the box, assess, slam it in, and hey, profit at the end, right? There was only a couple of librarians that got that joke. So they set it up for me. I did the basics, threw it together. There was no patches. There was no hardening done at all. So is this a true picture of an accurate setup? Absolutely not. Is it at least a start? Sure. Because this is kind of the, you know, base install that they give the customer and say, here you go, have fun. And a lot of times they sell their product to libraries that don't have a dedicated IT staff. Let's say for a college or a company. And it's not like the IT people dedicate their full time to the library. It's just books. Who cares? So it's not a real good situation. And from my experiences and what I perceive from the company, they're not really doing anything about that either. And my opinion is not really a good situation. So what can be done? Well, real simple. A lot of these times, they just put their server in the library director's office. I'll just walk in, take the box. Hey, we got to go do something. Okay, cool. All right, no problem. And walk out with it. And then I just walked out with your whole library system. And it's not like you can just step back and pull out the card catalog again. So you've effectively just totally mudged up the operation of the facility. Possibly some SQL injection with some of the web pages that they have set up and the interactions with the CGIs. And then, of course, depending on the configuration, common or known exploits that nobody's bothered to patch yet or nobody's bothered to mitigate out. New zero-day stuff, but, you know, same situation as any other application or any other situation. And then you also have the social engineering or human factors, because librarians as a whole tend to be helpful. And they tend to be friendly for the most part, unlike some of my ex-coworkers, at least towards me. So, you know, they're geared towards trying to help you get the information you want, and they don't think about, well, maybe I should kind of filter this a little bit and not give everybody the same user ID password, you know, goofy stuff like that. And, oh, as a note, you know, you have the hacking in a nutshell stuff and some of the fake O'Reilly books I put in the presentation. I had to explain to the librarians and the attendees that those were not real books. They're like, oh, can we get that? No, not really. Of course, since this box was not secured down at all, there was like a plethora of Sun issues with Solaris, because everything was open, everything pinged back, it identified everything. Sendmail is the default config. The first thing I would do is rip that out and put Qmail, but that's just a personal preference. Now, specifically with the application itself, there's a possible buffer overflow, and I'll show you guys part of the response I got back on that. I'm not a bithead. I'm not a coder, so whatever feedback you guys can give me on that, that'd be great, because I'm interested in what it is. Anything that the system would, you know, have a problem with, it would report back errors in database types and giving feedback. So, hey, now I know you're on an Oracle database and you're running Apache this, and let me go Google and see what problem, you know, vulnerabilities there are, and you're giving them too much information. There was also no verification that it was an actual client that was allowed to access that database to talk. So, you know, if I'm a particular computer in a particular library, that I'm accessing my own system, whereas I just happen to download the library client application and throw it on my laptop and go to some local coffee shop and start pinging your box, and oh no, I just figured out what a user ID login because somebody used password as password, and now I'm in your database in the same interface and application that the librarians use. So, let me go to Google, all right? I'll Google the company name or the company abbreviation, initials. They had library application name, and then password. And I found a good dozen websites of, okay, this is the library staff support site. Oh, and if you have any questions about our integrated library system, here's the user ID and password for the support site, which is supposed to be close hold information according to the non-disclosure agreement you sign with their company. The guys, and actually at this point, I actually pulled a couple websites up. I'm like, okay, here's one, another. And I could see that the whole collection of the staff from the vendor in the back left corner just going, oh, man. And one of them, like one of the bosses, is just writing down who they are. It was fucking hilarious, Ed. Oh, yeah. It was hitting the fan. And then there's also some specific CGI file names or CGI 4/1.1, which there's a CGI 1.1 vulnerability, if I understand it correctly. This is a bit of information that one of my fellow admins, sysadmins, passed to me from a different facility, and I wasn't able to do too much about that. But if they had not updated their site and Google had already cached it, their chances are you go back to their library system, they still had that vulnerability. Blam. Going through a couple of different websites, web pages within this application, there's one where you can log in as a library patron and renew your books and do that sort of stuff. Well, okay. I'll go in the SOCH field and throw in some SQL and see what happens. And this is about as much as I was able to get with the limited time frame I had. Was getting the error message, and I wasn't able to do any more in trying to figure out what was really going on. But something was going on because it got the error message. It was my gut feeling. Plus, with the particular search fields and search codes, you could change the count number to change the search results to display. And it's really not supposed to work that way. And again, I wasn't given enough time to really research this more, and I would have liked to. And I'm also getting into a realm where I really haven't played too much in. But, yes. Yeah. And that's kind of what I was thinking of. Sorry? I'll get to that. It's Oracle. All right. So, simple port scan. What did I find? I tried to find a nice graphic on port scanning. Couldn't find. Hey, here's a picture on like some seaport. I'll throw it at it. Simple basic stuff. Oh, yeah, let's run FTP on the same box we're running the library server. And Telnet. Oh, and that was like one of the standard things when I first got into the community. Oh, just Telnet into your box. Yeah. Yep, there is SSH. SS what? Of course, Finger responded back. Port 80, of course. Because they're running Apache for the when you go and do your search of what items, it comes up as such. Send mail. And a bunch of other little ports that really weren't able to identify themselves. Some of those are the library applications, such as port 7, the 700 series, 7000 series. If there were certain modules you could buy in addition to this library system, such as what's showing up here, the self-check. Some libraries have a system where you can go and check out your books or check in your books yourself. Well, if you don't buy the module, you don't get it. Well, that's not something they turned on or turned off, or default turned off, in my opinion, which is how it should be, when they did a base install. So it's still floating out there, and it still had a process, even though you didn't buy the module. Didn't make any sense to me either. And I wasn't able to research this bottom here, port 7075, in regards to what it's coming up with in that little NISO website on the end. Yeah. Ports galore. I never tried that. Good idea, though. Sure. So, with all these ports that were not, you know, identifying themselves, I just started telnetting into them and see what happens. And I, let's go to 7070, and I type in a bunch of characters, and each character that I typed in, or a carriage return, or a group of characters, would display a zero on the screen, and to a certain point, it'd give me this assertion failed error. I'm like, well, one, a decent setup shouldn't be giving me an error. Two, it shouldn't be letting me telnet into a port that's not expecting telnet. Because, theoretically, this is probably one of the ports that this application runs on. So why is it allowing me to telnet in when it should be at least authenticating, hey, I'm trying to connect you with a client. So it's giving me the assertion failed with a couple of CPP. Looks like some C program code in there. And that's what it looked like. Get the little zeros and then give me the error. And it would terminate me. But I could immediately telnet back and get the same thing again. And again, I wish I had some more time to play with this and all this. I wish I was a little bit more smarter in how to do it, but I wasn't given the time. If you telnet to any of the lower ports, you get this Oracle error. I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. And back to them. At the close of my presentation, I'm like, okay, here's in summary. Don't display errors to the end user. Hello. You know, I shouldn't be getting that stuff when I tell it in. Gives us clues on what's going on that the end users don't need. Being that I worked in a government facility, there are supposedly directives that being a vendor and selling stuff to government agencies that you're supposed to be in compliance with, which they're obviously not. Because they talk about some of this stuff in there. And, of course, there are standard practices and code of practices. They're a good thing. You guys should be complying with that. Do you guys do the CMM? And he looked at me like, what the fuck is the capability maturity model? Okay. I really, after finding all this out, I'm glad that I wasn't able to get a job with them because I don't think I could work there. Because it seems so hairy-carry the way they did their development. Some pretty basic stuff in regards to, hey, don't be the low-hanging fruit, even though you're getting this product. And a lot of times when you work in a library, it's a committee that decided what library system you're getting or which one you're migrating to, and you don't have a choice on what you're implementing. So at least try to do it smartly. And I suggested some suggested reading for the future, Cuckoo's Egg by Clifford Stoll. One, because it's a pretty decent book, I think. Two, because my boss read it and then understood everything I had talked about for like the last 3 years. Second, I know how some people feel about Mr. Micknick, but I wasn't able to talk about some things, and I figured, hey, librarians have actually heard of Kevin Micknick and probably heard of the book. Give that something else for some fodder for them to read. I also thank, you know, the vendors, thanking you, EFF, to help me out, some of my friends in my clan and in Nebraska CERT for some of their ideas, resources, and so forth, and for my boss for her support and blessing for doing this, or my old boss, I should say. And, of course, I plugged the EFF. They also sent me a stack of flyers, pamphlets, and some stickers that I handed out in the presentation and gave them a little bit, hey, what's the EFF and why? So at the end of the presentation, I was like, oh, that's over. Can I go to the bar now? The vendor actually thought it went well, because initially they thought I was going to go for the jugular. And a little history on that. When I first got into the job, let's just say that as an administrator who wanted some help, I was a little demanding, and the support wasn't used to having somebody call them and be demanding, because they're, I guess, used to the stereotypical timid, demure librarians. So I went to the first users group conference, and everybody from the company was astonished because they thought I was some old crotchety, bitchy guy. And I come walking in with my chops, and, you know, dressed up. And they're like, holy, who the fuck are you? Oh, you're that guy? And then I, you know, started buying them drinks at the bar, and it got a little bit better. It was really hard to go for that kill and go for that jugular because, you know, I was only given a week. And I was venturing to some areas that I had not been able to play with before and was hoping for a little bit more time. The vendor actually also, after the presentation, approved for my handouts, which you guys got, and the presentation to go on the support website for other people that were not able to attend that session or not attend the conference at all to at least go through it, which I thought was pretty cool because initially they weren't too keen on that. After one of the other vendor employees walked up to me and gave me a copy of their snort logs from when we were doing one of their scans. Like, that's supposed to be a security measure or something. But he thought it was cool because we caught you. Whatever. One of the other administrators that came to my presentation came up to me afterwards in the bar. And not that, you know, I hang out at the bar the whole time at this conference. No, I don't want to give you that impression at all. That there's a real audio attack vulnerability that was out, is out, that created a similar situation with this system in that it would connect to one of the same ports and start creating bogus processes and just bog the whole system down. And I've been talking with support guys about it, but nothing had been sent out to the user community at all about this. One of the committee members for a library system up in the Northwest who just happened to be on looking for a new system administrator was actually in my presentation and came up to me afterwards and said that I had scared the shit out of her. I'm like, good, give me the job. I got the rejection letter, which is fine. I got something better. And then also other system administrators that contacted me for other ideas, thoughts, and so forth. And we were starting to share more information than what was before, which was one of my intents. A little bit after this, I was downward directed that we're going to migrate to a different library system, which, in my opinion, was a total piece of crap. Also, this system would be centrally located, not in my location, and would remove most of my system administrator duties and pretty much leave me to doing basic PC support. Barf. And I won't go into the hollow promises by the director. Oh, we won't do this. No, we'll stay. Yeah, right. Okay. So I found a new job and left. Because it was bad enough that, you know, they shoved this down my throat and didn't really talk to the people in the field about what did the libraries really need. It was a decision way up because somebody was making backdoor deals. Hey, look, the government. So there was also some drama. yet to hear. Apparently some. Moved to Vegas. All right, I'm out. Because they were really disappointed that I had left the community, and also they were wondering why, because apparently there was some long thread about security in the system and whatnot this past spring, and they were bewildered on why I didn't speak up. So, end result, and raise the awareness for at least the group of people that were there and that they've talked to. So there's a ball rolling with that. And I doubt if there's any changes to the company at all. And I hope, but kind of also doubt, that there's been really any substantial changes to the application at all. But at least it got some people thinking. Was it a true full vulnerability assessment? Hell no. It was a start. It got some people pointing in the right direction, and some obvious stuff was at least identified. Any questions? Comments or thoughts? Yeah. No, and when the presentation was done, he made the cell phone call and the box was disconnected. The original box that they were going to let me use, they were in the process of setting it up, and the box died. So they had to borrow a box that they were actually going to send to a new client, throw my stuff on it, set it up. So when we were done, my stuff was purged, and they went and set it up for the new client and then got it sent out. So it was kind of, no. Also, the agreement that we had signed was for in preparation of that presentation. It wasn't for any further. I kind of wish I could have, but I was unable to. Yes. Sure. Correct. That is actually one of the things that I mentioned in my presentation, to that, you know, you do your own assessment, and then the next step is you bring in somebody from the outside that doesn't know anything about it. Because that's, in a sense, you know, one of the evil hackers is what they're doing, is they're looking from it from the outside, and what can we do with it? And, yeah, that is one of the things I recommended to them. But most libraries don't have that sort of money. It depends on the situation and what they're looking at. And, you know, each consultant or each company is different. And I have not really done any coordination on contracts in regards to that. I've charged for what little consulting I've done in regards to this particular system. But since I left the job and I'm no longer in the environment, I've not done anything with it since. Plus, my current employer's not too keen on me doing any consulting. Yes. First, just the basic, you have a responsibility to keep your system secure and keep your information private, or keep their patrons' information private. That's why, for example, a lot of libraries, when the Patriot Act came out, they configured, if they could, configured their library system to only store who has the current item checked out. There's no back history. Yes, there are, and it depends in regards to what state you live in. Okay, and so depending where you're at, I would first research for your state's library commission and see what they say. I lived in Nebraska, so the Nebraska Library Commission has a thing on, this is our intent on for libraries in this state and what the privacy policy should be. Now, what does the local library board consider? And what's the local guidelines on it? Since I worked in a federal institution, it's a total different ball of wax. The general consensus was, we'll try to do the best we can with these private, you know, what with what the American Library Association says, what's what with the State Library Association was, just because those are good guidelines. But since we're a federal institution and any boss can come down and say, you know, I want this information, there were some other issues and concerns with that. But it was addressed, and pretty much for our situation, we would have to get like the lawyers involved that were associated with our organization, say, okay, this boss just came in and wants this information. We need to get the right approvals and documentation first before we can hand it over, was what my boss said. Now, what would actually happen when it came down is a totally different story. But that's the same in any other operation either. So it's not just specifically our office. Yes. I'll give you a perfect example. Before we migrated to the Solaris box, we were keeping the entire back history. Because we had some staff members that when items came in, they would just go and scan them to check them back in and throw them back on the shelf. Well, infamously for a while, we'd have our technology books coming back, and a lot of technology books have a CD in them. Well, they were walking off. Well, if you already checked the book back in and you've purged the last patron, you don't know who to go after to get the CD back. So instead of checking the item first for condition, whether it's damaged, whether something's missing, they would just check it in and put it on a shelf. And then they got all bitched out of shape because they couldn't go back. We can't go back to the system to see who had it checked out last, instead of changing their procedures of checking the item first. So human complacency is probably the worst culprit in regards to that. The American Library Association, when this all came out, their recommendation is you keep the minimum of what you need. And it's all dependent on what the library operation's like, what the guidelines are from the local and state level, and what they have to keep and what they don't have to keep. So for the library that you're going to, unfortunately, you got to go and do a little research or ask questions with either the staff and or the library director or the library board and what their policies are. Most of the libraries I've been involved with or associated with, they keep the minimum. And that was it. When we migrated over, I just happened to tell my staff that, hey, we migrated over, so all the previous history's gone, and oh, it's not going to keep it anymore. Sorry. That was a configuration thing that I just forgot to check off to keep the past history. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that since you were recording. Any other questions? All right. Thank you for your time. Hopefully it was some enlightenment for you. And I'll be around till Sunday afternoon. If you got anything else or you want to talk to me offline. Thank you much.